This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming show, where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. I'm joined by Cameron.
Hello, Elliot. We're getting intimate again.
Yet again. We are the ultimate combination of intimacy right now, I think.
Yeah, I think we're go-to for intimacy. I'm not sure how my husband will feel about this, but it is what it is.
That's fine. He'll have to just get over it. I mean, he can come in here for an intimate one time or another, but, you know, we'll run that by him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love that.
So, on the radio program, the podcast will already be available. We talked about multi-platform game releases for 2018, all the things we're super excited about and what's coming up. But obviously, that's going to be a massive show because multi-platform are the biggest releases of the year.
There's so many.
There's so many, like so many that we couldn't list them all in one place, and we needed an extra spot to highlight some of these games.
We even attempted a rapid fire right at the end. Bam, 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 and we still ran out of time.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to cover some of those, and I'm going to kick it off with Kingdom Come Deliverance, and I'm kicking off this game because it actually releases in January. It's coming out quite soon. It is this medieval RPG that has what it's trying to be super realistic in some aspects, especially the combat and some of those areas. It looks really interesting, but I'm also very scared of what this game's going to end up being.
It looks like it's trying to do a lot. And might be, I'm not sure. Everything I see of it makes me feel like it may be a little rough around the edges, but I have no reason to believe that. It's just something
I believe it. I think it's because it's such a big scope of a game, and we don't know that the developers have the pedigree to be able to pull it off. Like, it's one of those things where you have to wait and see. Yeah. But I'm always really skeptical when a game tries to be this massive behemoth of a thing that it might not be able to handle.
It does do that thing which I actually find I could do with a few more games doing, where if you start a side quest and you don't go and deal with it, there's every chance the character themselves will go to deal with it and get themselves killed.
Yeah, the game doesn't kind of wait for you.
Yeah, and Divinity did the same thing.
Yeah, I do like that in games as well. It gives agency to the things you're doing.
I don't want it in every game.
No.
But I feel like there's a few games, rather than just piling up side missions, you go, right, I've got to go deal with this mission now. Like, this is an actual side mission, not something that I've held for half the game and gone, oh, well, I'm looking to fill some time before I do the last mission. I'll go do that one over there, and I'm well over-leveled for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people who are into medieval RPGs are going to get super into this game. Like, I've seen hype for this game from some of my friends and people I know in the, like, gaming community. And this is, like, one of their most anticipated games because they're into that kind of super realistic medieval combat, or they're just really into those, like, 100-hour-long RPGs that they can just sink their life into.
It seems as well, from what I can understand and from what I've read, they've done a lot to get the history correct in this game.
Yeah, they've put effort into a lot of those aspects.
Yeah, a lot of my history buff friends are pretty excited for it. But I can almost guarantee it probably won't be one that I will pick up unless I hear amazing things about it.
Mm. I'm very much on the fence right now. Like, I'm excited for it, but I'm also scared of what it might end up being.
Talking of, like, big scope, really lifelike battles from ancient times, Dynasty Warriors 9. Dynasty Warriors is well known for a very realistic and believable battle simulation.
The sarcasm detector is just, like, spiking right now.
Do you know what? I have played the original Dynasty Warriors back from number one, when it was actually a fighting game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it actually started as a fighting game, the first one, on the side.
Like a Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so then in number two, it went to this kind of open battlefield arena feel to it, which is basically mop up the peons, get slowed down by a bigger boss.
It's basically like a giant sweeping attack and 100 enemies fly up into the air.
Warriors became kind of its own genre, but also its own joke upon itself, that every Warriors just seems to be the same thing. This one's trying to do something new.
See, I haven't played any of the Dynasty Warrior games, but I feel like people like those games ironically. Is that fair, or is there actually something to them that I don't understand?
I've played every, like, proper numbered release. I've not played all the spin-offs, but all the Dynasty Warriors, like, from 1 to 8, I've played them. I enjoy them for... I don't even know if I enjoy them. But
okay.
When I have played them, I enjoy them for... It's a bit cathartic. It's a bit mindless. And I think I enjoy them because the Dynasty Warriors bring such huge rosters and such huge variety in their characters. You feel like you're working towards something. You find a character you really like. And you just mow through thousands of poor farmers that were conscripted into the Chinese army to stop you. And they can't. That sounds really dark.
It does sound very dark.
But yeah, like it's this kind of cathartic feeling of just be... It's like an ultimate power play. I think other ones haven't been so successful because they've had kind of lackluster characters to play as. Like I did the Fire Emblem Warriors. I reviewed that last year. Yes. And it's not a positive review, let's say that.
I read it. It is not.
No, and it comes from the place that the roster just wasn't very interesting. It was trying to do too much. One thing I like is when we get the numbered one from the Dynasty Warriors series is we actually get an English dub, which is kind of important for these games because there's so much happening on the map screen at once that when they do just only release it with Japanese and English subs, you miss so much information.
Right.
You need it shouted at you in English.
I'm also looking forward to a game called Agony. It's coming out in a couple of months. I don't know why you're so bitter on this game, because every time I look at footage of it, it's basically like this hellscape, and it's this horror game, and you're moving through like this oozing, dripping, bloody world, and it's gore. Gross, and it's gore, and it's hellish and nightmarish. But I don't know, it's so captivating.
Everything I see of it just reeks of gore porn.
Yeah, but is that such a problem?
I don't like gore. So okay. That's why, for me, this is not even on my radar.
Is this one of the things where you couldn't even play it because of the visuals would be too affecting?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like gore. I've never liked gore.
No, that's fine.
And so, for me, probably not. I also am not a huge horror game fan. I prefer, like, suspense in those kind of games. And this one feels like it's more... I feel like this one's going to have a million jump scares in it.
It's one of those, like, we'll have to wait and see kind of things, but potentially. Yeah. I mean, what we see of the game is the visuals. We see that a lot. We don't tend to see all that much gameplay, although there definitely is gameplay out there. But they're obviously not spoiling any of those big, horrific moments because, you know, obviously you want those to have impact when people actually play your game, not just watching the trailer for your game. So it has me intrigued just because I know I could get lost in that world, and the visuals are so captivating and interesting that... I want to know what's around every corner. Like, it feels like you're walking through, like, the organs of a person. Like, the world looks like it's breathing and heaving and dripping, and it's so really...
Oh, my God.
It's really gross. Like, you're so crunching gross. On every step, or you're doing, oozing you know, on now, every step.
Now you're doing this deliberately. You're trying to work me up. Look, I'm excited for you. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But, yeah, when it first came out and all the trailers came out, I think also it didn't really have an official release. So the first thing I saw was like alpha footage, and it just like I was remember well, watching it, was a it being Kickstarter like, game. I'm uncomfortable.
There was a Kickstarter game, so there was a lot of alpha footage to try to get people to back their game, obviously. Yeah. So yeah.
That makes a lot more sense now, actually.
Yeah.
Talking of horrible monsters, Vampire.
Ooh, Vampire.
You gotta say
is
that it like
the that. Official pronunciation?
I think it is, actually.
Because I just call it Vampire.
It's Vampire. But okay. like I believe when it uses a Y, it comes from the old European, and it's Vampire is how they used to say it.
Right. That would make sense.
Vampire.
Yeah.
This game was supposed to come out this year.
It was. And this is by the people who made Life is Strange, weirdly enough.
Very weird. And it didn't. It got delayed. Basically, it's set during the influenza epidemic
the
in
Spanish
London.
Influenza Spanish influenza in London. In I London. Believe you're right, yeah.
And you play a vampire who used to be a doctor.
Yes.
And it's kind of like you're wrestling with your demons because you've obviously been drinking the blood of people, but I think you were deliberately drinking the blood of people who were dying from the flu or something. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about that. I know there's definitely that kind of moral choices scene from Life is Strange where it's like you have to survive, so you have to cause harm to people, but you also don't want to be killing off characters or like, you know, what do you choose to do in this situation?
I've not watched any gameplay recently. Probably last time I watched gameplay was about midway through last year.
Mm-hmm. It was rough.
It was rough. The thing is, nothing felt inspired. Everything felt clunky.
Oh, I don't know about that. See, I felt the game was definitely inspired as far as thematic or setting or lore, stuff like that. The combat is what really got me, because it did look very clunky, and yeah, it didn't look like it was a fun game to play, but there's something about that kind of lore and setting that I just want to throw myself into again.
I will admit to that. Like, the history, the location, the idea of being... Like, you don't hear about the Spanish influenza in gaming. Mm. You just don't. If they're going to go something like that, they'll just be like, it's the plague. Everyone got the plague. So it's quite interesting to be in a time period that doesn't get a huge amount of attention, and it's quite an interesting time setting. It's just, I don't know, the dialogue that I watched and the gameplay felt like a mismatch of a million different other games.
Yeah.
But nothing. Well,
to me, it reeked of a game called Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yes.
Which is like one of my all time favorite games, even though that game in itself was very rough as well.
Oh.
But playing that.
Poor dude who can only move through the sewers.
Yeah, the Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. I mean, that. This is a whole nother conversation. Yeah, it but. Is. If it can even be 50% of that kind of in-depth lore and voice acting and narrative and all the things that that game did so well, I'm super keen on it, but I don't know that it'll get there. We'll see.
It'll vampires always hit the points with people. People love vampires. I'm more of a vampire slayer. Give me Buffy.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Pity there is no Buffy game releasing next year, though, well, that we know of.
From vampires to zombies. And... Yeah, go on. Like, we've really focused on a lot of the games that I'm not so sure about this year. This seems to be my negative list. But we've got World War Z coming out, which some might remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago on the radio. And, it's something that just doesn't look... I don't know. We've only got one trailer to go by, and it's cinematic only.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Look, I think this is one of those games where it's okay to be skeptical, because movie tie-in games have... historically being quite bad, yeah. As well as movies adapted from video games. Like, that culmination of games and movies, like, there's always something that goes wrong.
I think the big problem is it's already sitting on a property that I really love the original book. And, you know, I would not care about the movie if it had been a completely new IP and didn't try to... Like, literally the only thing it took from the book is the name.
Mm.
Not even the zombies are the same zombies from the book.
Right, okay. So
the zombies in the book are like old, like the old style, shambling, slow.
Yes.
There's not this like running mound.
Right. Well, that's kind of what World War Z almost get famous for. Exactly. Is the hordes of zombies that would do anything to get to a person.
Now, this, I feel like this game is supposed to, because they're getting a sequel to the movie, this game I feel is supposed to kind of expand upon the world that it's taking place in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just feels... I don't know. If it was already a bad IP coming into the film off the book, it's already got a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Mm.
Then you've got a game coming off of that. Like, I just don't know who's asking for this.
Yeah. Well, and we also have so many zombie games already. Like, every time I see a zombie game, I'm like, yes, but what do you do differently? And that has to be a question every zombie game has to answer. Because if they don't have an answer for that, it's like, why do you exist?
Yeah, like, you had Left 4 Dead. That was like that frantic, quick arena co-op thing. That had a really unique take. Then you had State of Decay, which is getting a sequel. And that had that really awesome kind of open world. You don't control one person. You control, like, a community. And people can die. And they brought new things to this. So... If
and
the
then
only
had games
new thing...
like, oh wow, how was The Last of Us, where it's not even really zombies, but it's something similar, but that was a really narrative-driven game.
And it plays in a slightly different way. It's a matter of if the only new thing that you'll be bringing is the fact that the zombies are fast and pile up on each other, well...
But don't we already have a game coming out? Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, we already have a game coming out that's basically that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a good move to go to Vermintide 2.
Ah, which I'm excited for this.
Here we go. Finally a game Cameron wants to play.
Yeah, right. So I'm not a huge Warhammer fan, but I remember as a kid I kind of would hang out there because I was trying to pick up one of the guys that worked there. and so Vermintide comes from the Warhammer world. Not Warhammer 40,000 with the big, like, hulking
orcs
men
and whatnot.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the...
Space Marines.
Space Marines, that's it. This is... the same universe, I believe, but, like, back when it all began. And so it's, like, ye olde. It's kind of a D&D style to it. You've got your pyromancers, and you've got these things called the Vermintide, which is, like, these rat creatures. And so the first one, it plays very much like Left 4 Dead, but just with some really new different ideas. So it's not just zombies, it's these much more intelligent kind of rat creatures coming after you. Your team is like a hunter, a dwarf warrior. So there's much more melee combat put into it. And a sequel will just expand upon what I think was a pretty solid and underrated original game. Like, if you're looking for something to play with some mates, like, pick it up. It's a lot of fun. And it's quick and easy to play.
I definitely think this is one of those games that I have to look into more because I know of the game, but I haven't really checked it out that much. So I think that's fallen behind for me. So I'm definitely going to look at some footage of that.
Yeah, this one's adding some new characters as well, which I think will really add to it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Other ones, we've got Soul Calibur 6.
Go on. Tell me about Soul Calibur 6.
Well, I'm excited, I think. Soul Calibur is a pretty solid fighting game. It quite often gets left behind by things like Tekken and Street Fighter because it kind of came a little bit after. It feels more like the Dead or Alive.
Mm.
They were kind of always together. They would always come out around the same time. They had a kind of similar aesthetic. But we've not had a Souls game in ages. 5 came out, it was last gen, but I'm kind of excited. Like, it does a good thing. So basically it's a fighting game, but instead of using your fists, everyone has a unique weapon to them.
Right.
It has some ridiculousness in it, in terms of characters such as Voldo and Ivy. I recommend everyone go and look them up because that's...
Do a quick Google search.
That's an eyesore of an outfit. I'll be interested to see how little material they can fit into Ivy's costume this time around. It's kind of gross. Yeah, no, it gets down to like a string bikini usually. But it's a solid fighting game. It's not amazing, but it's not a bad fighting game. There are a lot of bad fighting games. This isn't one of them. So I'll be interested to see what they do with this amount of time they've had off.
Cool. Soul Calibur 6. Do you remember Extinction? Seeing gameplay footage of Extinction?
Yeah.
So this is another one coming out in 2018, or that's expected, and it's basically these giant ogre things attacking and ambushing, and it's almost Shadow of the Colossus-y, but really not, because the combat is so much more action-oriented rather than platforming and cutscenes and stuff.
It's a little reminiscent of those Attack on Titan games that came out.
That's a much more similar comparison.
Look, it's not... It is not... I'm interested, but at the same time, I worry about repetitive gameplay.
I'm 100% interested. I think it's one of those things we haven't seen enough of to make a judgment call. You're right, it could be very repetitive if you're fighting orc after orc after orc, and there are all these big battles.
Yeah, like, always remove the arms, then the legs, then go for the head, and like,
right,
they need to make sure they're keeping it fresh for that to be a hit. But I'm, you know, I love these behemoth battles. I love a good giant enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And I find it so funny because in a lot of games, they'll have like a giant enemy the size of a skyscraper, you know, defeated by a rocket launcher or a cutscene. That's it. Human-sized enemy. Ooh, that's like an hour-long battle that you've got. So I'd like to see like these big, like, spaced out battles that you can be a bit tactical, climbing buildings, getting around, you know, being a bee in their bonnet.
Hmm. That would be good. I'm also looking forward to, and I'm going to try to move through these a bit quicker.
Yep.
Psychonauts 2.
Yes.
The sequel to one of my favorite games because it's just freaking adorable and awesome and absolutely kooky and weird. Yeah. Like, it's so out there. And all the footage I've seen so far of Psychonauts 2, even though it's in this development stage and you're really not seeing, like, they're not doing these big budget trailers. They're just showing, like, the development of the game. And it's really cool to see what they've, you know, created so far. Like, I'm excited to revisit Psychonauts. This is something I've been wanting for a long time.
It's a good odd. It balances that odd without going too far to just be...
And it's a 3D platformer. We need more of those, even though they're done wrong so many times.
I'm excited for Valkyria Chronicles 4 because they, after the terrible Revelations, another one I reviewed last year. I get a lot of bad reviews. I reviewed it last year and they went with a new mechanic that just did not work for it. The number 4 is planning to go back to much more of the original gameplay style, which is much more tactical. You move around the battle, you take your turn. It's a bit XCOM-y before XCOM reinvented itself. And it's got a kind of really nice aesthetic. So I think with the right amount of love and a focus on only current gen, because the last one was for Vita as well.
Uh-huh, yes.
I think a focus will do it heaps. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm also looking forward to Mega Man 11, which is another weird one.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Remember when that game was announced and people were like, oh my God, they're doing another Mega Man? Like,
yes, because I was that person. I love Mega Man. Like, I grew up on Mega Man X.
Though. Yes. Oh, there's been some really freaking good Mega Man games. Like, and whether this one ends up being a good Mega Man or a bad Mega Man, we don't know yet.
Whether it's classic Mega Man or what was the one that came out this year? Mighty No. 9?
Yeah, well, yeah. Trying to rep... I think that might have been the year before.
Yeah, I think it was the year before. But it was the original creator of Mega Man
trying to make a Mega Man again and really wasn't a very good game.
It was terrible.
I don't know what happened. That's what happens when you try to tap into nostalgia. Half the time it fails. And I'm really hoping Mega Man 11 does not fail. But yeah. System Shock as well is another remake. A remaster.
Yes.
So, I love the original System Shock games, and I cannot wait to get back into System Shock.
If anyone's a fan of Bioshock, it's good to kind of go back to where they kind of started.
Yeah, this is where it began.
Coming up with that stuff.
Absolutely.
And you should definitely give it a look out when it comes out. Also, Pray for the Gods.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I'm really excited. It feels a bit... it feels a little bit Shadow of the Colossus with, like, the footage we've seen. She's climbing around on the big... Griffin Dragon. I'm not sure what that is, but I love that it's like
it's really nicely designed, whatever it is.
It just looks really nice. Looks like a female protagonist. I get this vibe that's going to have very Nordic background to it, and I'm all about Nordic background.
Oh, yeah.
I love me some Nordic myth and lore.
Love me some Nords. Don't give awkward. Me that look.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Anyway, that's all the time we've got this week. These are some of the games we're looking forward to that are multi-platform coming out in 2018. If there was some games that weren't included on this list, it might have been on our previous list because we actually did a full radio show about this topic as well. So make sure if you're listening to this podcast, you've checked out our earlier podcast about 2018 multi-platform releases.
But unfortunately, there's also just so much coming out in 2018 that we can't.
We
even
haven't even
all
listed
them
all. Like you can't because especially when you take into consideration indie games and all these big blockbuster games as well. Like there's just so many.
And I can guarantee there'll be some stuff announced this year that'll be coming out this year that we won't know about.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's all the time we've got. I've been Elliot.
I've been Cameron.
Oh, well done. You did it yourself.
Yeah, I do. I do things myself sometimes.
Join us next week, guys.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.